Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And I have had a day of rejoicing, a day of prayer, and a day of reflecting, a day to come together with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and just sit with Him and enjoy the benefits that He gives us when we learn to enjoy spending time with Him through His Word, through prayer, through music and song and dancing, just whatever it takes for us to connect with Him and just bask in His presence and just submerge ourselves in Him. That is called experiencing God. And we can have such a wonderful time learning how to set aside time to experience Him in spirit and in truth. So I bless the Lord at all times, and I pray that you do the same, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a phenomenal experience to just resonate, bask in His presence, and experience Him through and through. So we are here today for an exciting journey. We have been going through a wonderful teaching series called The Benefits of Being in Christ. And my special guest, Minister Harold Copeland, he has been bringing us through this journey of carving out and unpacking scripture that reveals to us our benefits while we yet still live on earth. But I'm here today to bring to you more benefits. And this particular benefit is going to be focusing on our eternal benefit. And I like to call it a glimpse of eternal living. So I want you to come ready, willing, and able. Grab your Bible or your tablet, whatever device you use to pull up scripture, and whatever device or materials you use to document verses, passages in scripture, because we are going to run and we're going to run fast. So I want you to keep up with me, if you will, so that you can be fed what the Spirit of the Lord wants you to eat. And when we eat the meat of the Word of God, oh my word, what a blessed fulfillment you will have. And again, this is a part of experiencing God through His Word. So we're going to let Scripture teach in light of Scripture. Precept upon precept. I just want you to be ready to take notes and verses that you can go back and reread and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the sweet nuggets that He wants you to know. So before we go, before we start, I just want you to whisper a prayer for my guest host, Brother Harold. He's a little under the weather, and so he won't be with me today in studio, so I'll be operating solo, but not lonely, independent, because the Holy Spirit, of course, is with me. So we want to just pray for him and then, of course, pray for each other. You may be in a trying situation today, and our hearts are with you. Our prayers are with you. We're covering you in prayer, brothers and sisters. So let's touch and agree and lift up the body of Christ in prayer. So as we move into our passages, our key passage for this teaching series the benefits of being in Christ have been Psalms 103. And so I'm going to reread Psalms 103, but I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. So if you would walk with me to the book of Psalms, and we're going to read Psalms 103 and locate verse 1 and 2. And if you would read with me, and it reads this way: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So we don't forget his benefits is what the Lord wants us to remember. Do not forget his benefits. Don't forget where he brought you from. Don't forget what he brought you through. Don't forget the promises that he's made to you and me. Do not forget his benefits. So bless the Lord is my encouragement to you, that you lift him up in praise, adoration, in song. He will be glorified. So let's look at our lesson for today. Now keep in mind, we're still on benefits, the benefits of being in Christ, right? So, but our focus is to forget not his benefits according to Psalms 103 verses 1 and 2. But now we're going to take a little shift. And we're going to look at benefits, and we're going to look at them from an eternal perspective. Now, Minister Copeland, Harold Copeland, he did a magnificent job on sharing with us and opening the door for us concerning eternal life. And we know that's a benefit. And let's read, if you will, jot down John 17, verse 3. John 17, verse 3. And I'm going to read that, and I would want you to follow along with me, if you will. John 17, verse 3. This is Jesus explaining to us the definition or what eternal life means. So let's back up to verse 1. And verse 1 in 17 says, Jesus spoke these things. Now this is Jesus praying for himself. And this is what he said. Jesus spoke these things to the heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you gave him authority over all flesh so that he may give, circle that word, eternal life to everyone who to everyone you have given him. Verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. Now let that saturate in your mind. Now, I asked you to circle a particular word. Now, maybe your translation may read differently, but it says, so that he may give eternal life to everyone you have given to him. He, being God, give eternal life to everyone you, God, have given him. Jesus. So Jesus goes on to define what eternal life means, and that is to know you. That means to know God, the only true God. And how do we know him and the one you sent? Who did God send? He sent Jesus Christ. So we know God, and this is a know that we know that we know, a know without a shadow of a doubt that we know through Jesus Christ. My commentary that I use pretty frequently through a really good Bible teacher, Tony Evans, and you may know him, but his commentary puts it this way, and I love the way he says, eternal life does not merely refer to an existence that lasts forever. After all, everyone will live eternally, either in heaven or in hell. Don't miss that, my brother and sister. It says, either in heaven or in hell. To receive eternal life, then, is to enter into the divine realm with the goal of experiencing an intimate relationship with God through Jesus, a relationship that will grow throughout eternity, is the uninterrupted, deepening knowledge and experience of God. This is the purpose for which we were created, my brothers and sisters. This is what we were created for, to experience God. How? Through Jesus Christ. How? Intimately, personally, relationally. This is our growth. Our growth. To experience God when? When we get to heaven? No. Now. Right now. Today. This is the day that he has made for us to rejoice in him, to glorify in him, to experience in him. And how do we experience him? Through worship, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. If you don't know how, then I encourage you to get around brothers and sisters who do. It is infectious, and it is a purpose and a part of our new nature, our born-again nature, our salvation, that we fellowship one with another, that we grow and go in grace through the Word of God, through ministries such as this one, Mission from the Heart. We grow together. We worship together. We praise together. We sing together. And we glorify him together. This is a glimpse of what it will be like for eternal living. Now, eternal life is what we are experiencing now. Why? Because we are saved by his saving grace, what Jesus did on the cross. We are saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And for those of you who've accepted him as their personal, intimate, relational Lord and Savior, then yes, you are experiencing eternal life on this side of heaven. We have eternal life according to what Jesus said in verse 2, chapter 17 of John, so that he may give eternal life everyone you have given him. This is eternal life. So, with that being said, Minister Harold Copeland did a wonderful job in expressing or defining, sharing scripture concerning eternal life. Now, pin this down. Eternal life is knowing the only true God intimately, personally, relationship-wise, or relationally. And we can do that. It would be to our best interest to get to know God through Jesus Christ with an intimacy of nature. Now, I hope that helped you to understand that some folks may think or wonder if eternal life comes when we get to heaven. No, according to Scripture, we have it now because of our intimacy with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have intimacy with Jesus Christ, then I implore you to start today, for this is the day that the Lord has made for you to become intimate, relational, and personal with Him when the growth begins. So now we're going to move over into our verses for eternal, or should I say, glimpses of eternal living. So if you would walk with me to Revelation. Now, I know some people may, some brothers and sisters in Christ may have a little fear of one of my favorite books. Revelation is one of my favorites, if not the favorite. But I enjoy reading through Revelation. And we're going to read Revelation chapter 21. So if you would move over and document in your notes Revelation 21, and we're going to start in verse 1 and just kind of move through those verses just so that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will show us glimpses of eternal living. So let's read Revelation chapter 21. And I hope you found that in your Bible. And I'm going to start at verse 1. John wrote Revelation, the disciple or apostle John. And we're going to start in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. Amen. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe them and will be He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." He also said, "Write, because these words are faithful and true." Verse 6, then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. the one who conquers will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowards, faithless, detestable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Now, I want to stop right there at verse 8. And this is what I would like. Now, we can read on, but I would like for you time to read verses 9 through 27 at your own private study time. And I encourage you, this is not a book in the Bible that you need to be afraid of. Embrace it, because it's for us. And these are glimpses of the promises that God has made for us. Benefits. These are the benefits of being in Christ Jesus. And so now my point that I want to bring out or unpack in those verses 1 through 8 that I want to bring out are point 1. And if you would make note of this. Now, again, this is a glimpse of eternal life. I'm sorry, eternal living. So point 1 being holy city. And point 2 being God will dwell. And point 3, wiped away. And the last point, it is done. So I hope you made note of those. Point 1, holy city. Point 2, God will dwell. Point 3, wiped away. And point 4, it is done. And these are coming out of those first few verses that I just read, verses 1 through 8. So let's look at this with some different lenses on our eyes. Let's unpack it, as some theologians would say or preachers would say. Let's unpack these verses. I like to see what God has shown me or the Holy Spirit has revealed to me, and I like to look at this as being all things new. Now, we live in an old order right now, and I would like to show how the new order of things are going to be revealed to us. Now, this is just a glimpse. We don't know all of the details, but we can take Scripture for what it is and allow it to soak in to our heart and our mind so that the Holy Spirit will teach us, reveal to us, grow us, and use what we have learned in order to share it with others so that they will come in to the body of Christ. Now, let's look at the holy city, point 1, which comes out of verse 2. And I'm going to reread that again, and if you would follow along with me. And it says, I also, this is John, I also saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Now, this city, New Jerusalem, is made ready. It's adorned like a bride. Keep in mind, if you were a bride, if you've ever had an opportunity to be a bride, how do we start preparing for ourselves to become so beautiful to our groom? It may take a year preparation. It may take maybe months. It just depends on who your wedding planner is or how expedient you handle things in order for a preparation of beauty to come about. And we try to do our best in adorning ourselves with a beautiful gown, with makeup, hair, jewelry, and something blue, something old. We know what we need when it comes to us preparing our bodies for the receiving of our groom. And I want to look at scripture. Well, I'm not going to go there, but if you remember the story about Queen Esther in the Old Testament, and she was chosen by God for a purpose, but she found herself in a harem of women for the king choose his new wife. And because of Queen Vashti, who displeased her husband, the king at that time, he dismissed her and he wanted a new wife. And God purposed and planned for Esther to be that new wife or a queen for the king. And yes, she had a major role play in those passages in that book, but it took a year for her to be prepared and adorned and fashioned and made to be beautiful. And this is the expression of the new city, the holy city. It was made ready for who? Us, the believers in Christ Jesus, the Christ followers, the body of Christ. This new Jerusalem made ready. And as it's mentioned and as it's described in scripture, it says prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. So now, how beautiful is that? We've seen some beautiful brides over our time, if you weren't called one yourself. But what I'm trying to express is the beauty in this city, made ready by who? Not by hands of man, by God himself, adorned like a bride. And we will be in that new Jerusalem. So we will dwell in there. We will live in this new Jerusalem, this new city. And what did John say? He said, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Couldn't have had a better creator. He created this earth, and it was good because he said it was good in Genesis, in the first chapter. But I just want us to understand the importance of what we have glimpses of living. We will be living in a beautiful city. Beautiful city, and it will be perfect in all of its ways for us. Now, just allow that to resonate. If you can picture that and fashion your mindset on how beautiful a bride is at a wedding and how beautiful this city, this new Jerusalem, will be. So just allow that to kind of resonate in your heart. Now that's verse two, and that's point one. Now let's look at point, God will dwell. I mean, it gets gooder and gooder every step of the way. It just is a promise that we can bank on. Here in verse three, still in Revelation, and let's reread verse 3. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne, look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. Now, we couldn't have anything better than that. Brothers and sisters, God will dwell with us there, among us, his people. Don't miss those important words in this verse. Whose name are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or the Book of Life. Now, he will dwell with us. Now, that just in itself is sweet, sweeter than honey, to know that our God will be there with his people. According to the scripture, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. Now let's look at this in some other verses. And I want us to understand that it's only us, those who are saved by grace and who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This will be our new dwelling place, our new home, the new Jerusalem. Let's look at Revelation 20, and we are going to go to verse 15. So if you would walk with me to verse 15, and I'll read what it says. Follow along with me. The one who spoke with me had a golden measuring rod. And I'm sorry, verse 20, not 21. That's what I was reading. So go back one chapter and follow along with me in verse 15, chapter 20. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. This just lets us know without a shadow of a doubt, there won't just be anybody. We already read in verse 21, I'm sorry, chapter 21, in verse 8, but the cowards, faithless, detestable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Now, in chapter 20, it says, and we can move up to 14, death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire, verse 15. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. My point being is that your name or the names that were not written in the book of life will not be in this holy city, this new Jerusalem. They will not be there. And it clearly spells out what or who they are. So this is a promise for us as brothers and sisters in Christ. And now, of course, our mission is to extend Jesus to those who may not know him, because we do not want our family members to live or whose names are. We do not want our family members to not be written in the book of life. So it is our responsibility, it is our mission to extend Jesus to our parents, to our siblings, to our grandkids, to our children, to our neighbors, and anyone else that we call family. And then even to the sinner man, the woman on the street, the man that's drunk, the drug addict, the pimp. It does not matter who they are or their background. It is our mission to go into the vineyard and express and extend and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they may have a right to the tree of life just as you and I. Now, that's our mission, but it clearly explains how the book of life are those who will be in this new Jerusalem. And I encourage you to share the word of God so that others will have a right to the tree of life. So we saw how it says how the book of life is an important book that will have the names in them, the names in the book of life. Now let's look at another scripture and let's see what it shows us, what it explains to us in verse 12. So we're still in chapter 20 of Revelation, and we read 15. Let's back up to 12. Saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Now, if you notice, it's a plural. It's books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by what was written in the books. Verse 12. And then we know that all will be judged. But according to verse 12, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by what was written in the books. So, what am I saying? What I'm saying is this new Jerusalem, the new city, fashioned, ready, adorned like a bride, we who are in the book of life will be there, but those who are judged and in the books will be judged according to what they've done and what they've refused to do. And what gets them in those books is because they have refused to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They refuse to. Everybody has an opportunity to accept or reject Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But it is our heart's cry that everybody walking and breathing would accept him. But there's a reason why there's a book of life and the other books. So I just wanted us to see how important it is for you to cleave, hold on, press in, just run toward, look up, and hold on to God's unchanging hand. Don't waver in your faith. Don't have shifting feet. Don't straddle the fence. Don't flip-flop like a fish out of water. Hold on, steadfast, unmovable, unchanging in your faith. So let's continue in our scripture. Let's jump down to Revelation, and we're still there. And it says, let's read Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. So let's back up to Revelation 3, verse 5. And it reads, in the same way, the one who conquers will be dressed in white clothes. And I will never erase his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and before his angels. So this is an encouragement to us to know that when our name is written in the book of life, it will never be erased. According to Revelation 3:5, in the same way, the one who conquers will be dressed in white clothes, and I will never erase his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and before his angels. Amen. Promising a benefit, a promising benefit. So let's look at Revelation 13, verse 8. Revelation 13, verse 8. All those who live on the earth will worship it. Everyone whose name was not written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slaughtered. So keep in mind, it's just another passage that lets us know all of those whose name was not written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slaughtered. I've already said, Scripture has already explained that we know that they are going to the lake of fire. We will walk with me to Philippians 4:3, and let's see what it says as we move through the Scriptures. Philippians 4:3. Yes, I also ask you, true partner, to help those women who have contended for the gospel at my side, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Amen. So that's also promising. That's also a benefit to know that when our names are in the book of life, we don't have to worry or doubt, because what gets our name in the book of life? When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you would, brothers and sisters, I think this is a good time for us to bow our heads, say a prayer of salvation for somebody who may be listening to this broadcast. They need Jesus. So if you would touch and agree with me and pray with me, if you know someone that has been weighing heavy on your heart, lift them up in prayer. Pray for them that the Lord would use you to lead them to him, that they would accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I don't know who it is. It may be a spouse. It may be a sibling of some, or it may be a coworker. But the Holy Spirit has been placing that person on your heart for some time. So let's pray for them and for those of you who may be listening to this broadcast today. I encourage you to fall on your knees. Fall on your knees and extend your hands and surrender your life to him, that your name would be in the book of life. So let's just do that right now. So if you would repeat after me, your heart, my word, Lord God, here I am. I am your child. Lord, I need you right now. I come asking that you would take over my heart and set up on the throne of my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I've said some things that have not been right. I've done some things, Lord, that I know were not right. I've even had thoughts, Lord, of clean me up from the inside. I receive you by faith. Forgive me, Lord, for you are my saving grace. I will trust you, and I believe by faith that you did die on that cross for me. You are my Savior. Lord, here I am. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So praise the Lord, brother and sister. You have wholeheartedly given your life to Christ. This is the best thing that you have done, could have done, was accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He wants you and you need him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church so that you can be baptized by submersion. Oh my gosh. And when you come up, you will sing hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just as you've done today when you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. And just to know the promises, the benefits of being in the body of Christ. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Seek out a small group Bible study that will disciple you or a Sunday school class in that church that you would be discipled so that you can grow and go in grace. My goodness, for you to grow intimately, relationally with God is just phenomenal. It is an amazing experiencing of Him. And this is what he wants from you, for you, is to experience him. And so I'm excited that you've accepted Jesus. And brothers and sisters, those that you have lifted up, don't lose faith. Keep the hope in Jesus Christ that one day that individual will come to know him in the pardoning of their sins. So hallelujah. So let's continue to move on. And so we've seen that not everybody will dwell with him in this holy city. Not everybody will. As we've seen in verse 8 in chapter 21. And we know those to be those who just totally resist Jesus Christ. Now, we just finished knowing how we can be sure our name is in the book of life. We just did that, and that's through salvation, a know-that-you-know-that-you-know type of salvation, not a wavering faith, not a doubting faith, not a sometime faith, not a straddling faith, but a faith that knows that they know that they know. You were to die today, would you know that you would not descend, but you would ascend? And this brings me into my third point, wipe away. And in verse 4, we read in chapter 21 of Revelation. So let's go back to Revelation and reread verse 4. Verse 4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more because the previous things have passed away. Amen. I like the way that reads. Death will be no more. Hallelujah. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. No more crying, pain. Amen. So, now what does that mean? Order of life. He will wipe it away. Everything that decays, pain, crying, death, mourning, things that will decay. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 just to kind of open our eyes even a little larger. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. And walk over to chapter 15. And it reads, and we're going to start in verse, let's start here in 15, and we'll read at verse 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they have when they come? Verse 36, you fool. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow are not sowing the body that will be, but only a seed, perhaps of wheat or another grain. But God gives it a body as he wants, and to each of these seeds its own body. Not all flesh is the same flesh. There is one flesh for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. Verse 40, there are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is different from that of the earthly ones. There is a splendor of the sun, another of the moon, and another of the stars. In fact, one star differs from another star in splendor. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown in natural body, raised in spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Verse 46, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. Don't miss that. Verse 47, the first man was from the earth, that's Adam, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. The man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. Like the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Now, that's that born again nature. That's through salvation. That's just what we did when we extended Jesus to those who may not know him in the pardoning of their sin. They've accepted Jesus Christ, their salvation. Verse 49, and just as we have bore the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. Now, I just put in my margin, hallelujah, amen. Verse 50, what I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor can corruption inherit incorruption. Listen, I am telling you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, and we will be changed. For this corruptible body must be clothed. And I circled must. Now, in your translation, I'm not sure what you may see, but according to this translation, I circled the word must be clothed with incorruptibility. And this mortal body must be clothed with immortality. When this corruptible body is clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body is clothed with immortality, then the saying is written will take place. And this is the saying: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where death is your victory. Where death is your sting. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. The work that we do now is not in vain. So this is a hallelujah praise. It should be a hand clapping, and I hope that you are just singing hallelujah right now, because scripture tells us that we are to be steadfast, unmovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So let's just complement that verse with Matthew 6, verse 19. So walk with me to Matthew 6. Now, I told you, I love to allow scripture to teach in light of scripture, and it just solidifies itself. Matthew 6, and we're going to start in verse 19. And this is what it says: Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and dust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. So this is letting us know that we are to store our treasures in heaven. Why? Because the book of life will have our name written in, and he will judge us for what we do now. So I employ you, I encourage you, brothers and sisters, get to work and extend Jesus to somebody who needs him. And then we will look at the last point. It is done. And we read that in verse 6. And it reads again in Revelation 21, and I will reread it. Follow along with me. Then he said to me, "It is done." Now, we've heard that when Jesus said that on the cross. "It is finished," is what Jesus said. Verse 6 in Revelation 21. Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. He gives us now. He gives to those who are thirsty after him from deep within. This thirst comes from the depth of our heart, from the spirit man, our spirit man who commingles with the Holy Spirit. He gives us what he wants us to have, the blessings now to those who come hungry and thirsty after him. And he, remember, think of it this way, as a deer who pants for water. He's so thirsty that he's panting and looking for water until he can come to a spring. And he'll continue to wander until he can quench his thirst. We are to thirst after Jesus Christ like that. As if we are in the desert and we don't see anywhere there's a stream of water, he will provide. He is our beginning. He is our end. And we are to thirst after him. This is another experiencing of God. And these are just some glimpses of what eternal living will be. And it goes on to explain and to explain in verses 9 in chapter 21 of Revelation through 27. It goes on, and I encourage you to read those verses, but I pray and hope that you have some meat to chew on concerning a glimpse of eternal living, eternal benefits on this side of heaven, and when we get our new body, the incorruptible body, and we will live in the new Jerusalem. Jesus, when he came out of that grave and he met with the disciples in the upper room, he just popped in and popped out. Yes, he had a tangible body, but that body was not the same body that came through the womb of Mary. Think about it, brothers and sisters. We will be the same way. Now, I don't have to tell you, but I can prove it to you when we read, or let's go to 1 John 3:2. Let's look at 1 John 3. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him as he is. At Christ's return, brothers and sisters, we will be miraculously changed. And it will be manifested to all. At his appearing, when he comes back, when that trumpet is sounding, return. Graves will be robbed and we will be transformed with resurrected bodies. Amen. But we have a work to do. We have a work to do. We have got to thirst. We have got to hunger for him. That is so important. And we've got to learn how to be intimate with him. Not fake, not wavering, not half-hearted, but wholehearted. He knows us better than we know ourselves. But for us to be in the book of life, for us to live in the New Jerusalem, for us to experience him, to dwell with him, We have to know him. So I pray that you do come to know him with intimacy, in relationship with him personally. Pray that you have a hunger and a thirst, my brother and my sister, for Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is our life. And he is the truth. And we know that no man can get to the Father but by him. Always remember that the grass wither and the flowers, they fade away. But this word that we call the Holy Word of God, it will remain forever and ever. God bless you, and we will meet again with Mission from the Heart.